His words are eternal. That they still speak to us today. Every word that fell from the lips of Christ that was recorded for us by the Holy Ghost, they still speak to us today. There are many things in the Bible that are hard to understand. There are many things that have happened through the years that we perhaps question, why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did I go through this? Isn't this a little bit above and beyond what I should have went through? And there's an event in the life of Jesus Christ that falls in that category. Actually, there's about four verses that I want to bring to your attention. You'll find them in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I've been meditating and pondering these passages of Scripture for a while, and I'll entitle the message, "My King with a Crown of Thorns." I don't know if I can read these Scriptures without crying. It's very difficult for me to even read the accounts of the crucifixion of my Lord. I know that He went through all of those things because of me. I know that I'm responsible. I know that He was there to be a substitutionary atonement for my sins. That He was there on the cross taking my place. And if you've never felt that nor experienced the reality of Jesus Christ on the cross taking your place, you need to be saved. This is not some abstract story. It's not a fairy tale. It's the redemption of fallen man. This is how we're saved. This is the way in which Jesus brought us back into relationship with a holy God. I don't classify myself as some deep preacher. There are a lot of things that I've pondered, and I still don't fully comprehend. I get tongue-tied when I begin to try to evaluate and analyze and try to pull together some of the reasons behind the torture and the brutality of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And one particular aspect of that is when He was led into Pilate's hall and turned over to the soldiers to be mocked, to be cruelly and brutally, sadistically tortured. And the only thing I can put together is that there's still deep, misunderstood aspect of our transgressions that brought about or was the reason for this kind of cruelty. In other words, our sins are so terrible, they're so awful, they're so offensive to God that it took this kind of cruel death to redeem us. You know, the announcement was made at the birth of Jesus that this Christ that was born, He was born to save His people from their sins. That's what He was doing. He was saving us from our sins. And this contempt and scorn and mocking that went on, the placing of the crown of thorns upon His head, I mean, He had already been scourged. He had already been beaten and whipped. His whole backside had already been an open sore. just bleeding as a result of the beating that he had taken. And here's this some 400 soldiers, this garrison of soldiers that brought him into this place to taunt him, to mock him, to use him as amusement. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, you start making fun of my family and I get upset. Oh, come on, you do too. I mean, if somebody starts making fun of one of your friends or your family, I mean, you know, you'll get up in arms, won't you? And here our Lord is being made fun of. Now, let's be mindful of something. Jesus Christ is king. Amen. He always was king. The Bible says, according to the prophecy, he was born king. Amen. You think about that. Born king. No other king ever wore a crown of thorns. And this king that wore the crown of thorns is my king. I went through some of the times that I had touched on and maybe even preached on the crown of thorns. I remember years ago, and I've got a plaque in my office. I've been moving and packing things up and came across this plaque that has a crown of thorns on it. A deacon at Landmark made that for me. I'd preached a message entitled about the thorns and thistles of life and how that Jesus wore the crown of thorns and drew a parallel between the thorns and thistles of life and Jesus wearing a crown of thorns. And he made that for me. And he came in, I remember one day with it, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "look up and down my hands. You see all those places that are scratched? You see those places where I bled? That was the result of me weaving these crown of thorns for you." And I wonder, and I thought about, this would be a good song. I made the crown of thorns. I don't know. One of you songwriters, maybe we'll take that and run with it. But for somebody to make a crown of thorns, I mean, they could have made, you know, something out of weeds or made something out of some other vine or reese or something like that. But instead, they used a crown. They used thorns, which, according to some scholars, some of these thorns were as much as an inch and a half long. They weaved the vines of thorns with the intent and purpose to place it on our Savior's head. My Savior, listen to me, wore a crown of thorns. Now, I know most of you like to go to church and you want to be amused and you want to have a happy-go-lucky kind of stuff, but there are some things that are just not funny. Amen. We're not meant to be amused by them. They're to cause us to pause and ponder the severity of the suffering of the Son of God. I don't know what kind of church you go to if you're visiting with us, but I'll tell you something. You need to go to a church where there's a people who pause and ponder the suffering of God. Amen. He came to suffer for our sins. Now, if you want to go to a three-ring circus, you go right ahead. But if you're going to come to the church of the true living God, you ought to hear the gospel of the Son of God. How that Jesus bled and died for your sins. I'll tell you, that's the kind of preaching that'll cause conviction to set up. It'll cause you to be stirred in your heart. It'll make you conscious of the fact that you need a Savior. It'll bring you to the very foot of the cross, and you'll look on Him whom you pierced because of your sins, and you'll believe to the saving of your soul. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, He said, "If I be lifted up," what does that mean? He said that Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw men in me." I tell you, Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up on a cross. He suffered. He died. He was in agony and pain. And I want us to ponder an aspect of his suffering, the emotional abuse that he took by this garrison of soldiers. You know, I thought about reading these passages, and I was just and sitting down. I mean, they pretty much speak for themselves what they did to our Savior. And I don't know if I'm going to do that or not, but I mean, what need was there on top of crucifying him? What need was there for them to dress him up in a purple robe and to mock him? On top of them putting, pinning him up like an insect on a tree, you're piercing his side, on top of all that, what purpose? What purpose did it serve for them to cruelly and viciously mock him? Place a crown of thorns upon his head. Put a purple robe up on him and put a little reed that represents a scepter in his hands. Spit on him and hit him with it. Mock him. What purpose did that serve? I went through prophecy and I don't know. I don't know. It's just like it was like one step above and beyond. I mean, was this a revelation of the Antichrist and his heart and his desire toward the Son of God? What purpose was this? What did it serve? I mean, he'd already been beaten within inches of his life. For this garrison of soldiers to mock him. How shocking this is. This kind of treatment, I can't grasp it. This is just abuse. This is mistreatment. This is cruelty. This is wickedness like none other. And our Savior, this is our Savior. This is our King. Our King who wore a crown of thorns. I begin reading in verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, most of us are aware what that is. We've seen the Passion of Christ. Mel Gibson. We know what that whipping entailed, how he was tied to that whipping post and those lashes were put upon his back by that whip that had sharp objects in it, sharp objects of bone and glass and metals, and he was just whipped and beaten, blood poured out on the ground where he was beaten. Brother Jeff Moran preached the introductory sermon at the Bethel Association Friday morning. He wrote a new song and entitled, "You Can't Wash Away This Blood." The blood that was shed for us was not just shed on the cross, it was shed in many places. Amen. By our Lord. He was scourged. He was whipped. He was beaten. This is the Son of God, mind you. The only begotten of the Father. The one who created all things. Without him was not anything created that was created. He was there in the very beginning when God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." This is the one who which was and is to come. This is the only begotten being whipped and beaten. They scourged him. I guess if there's ever anything found in the Word of God that ought to stir our hearts, it should be the crucifixion of our Lord. Amen. I mean, it ought to strike in the very core of our souls. It ought to stir us. Listen, my friend, it was your sins that was causing this pain. It was your sins that was causing this suffering. He told his disciples, "Look, I'm going to Jerusalem. And while I'm there, they're going to crucify me. They're going to beat me. They're going to whip me. They're going to mock me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again." Amen. He was there paying our sin debt. The Bible says he became sin for us. That's what was happening at the cross. He was becoming sin for us. Jesus is experiencing the torture and the pain that we deserve. He was experiencing the anguish that sinners deserve, that transgressors deserve. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was experiencing and deserved the things that we deserve. He didn't deserve these things, but we deserved this kind of suffering because of our transgressions. But he took our place. In other words, you should have been at that whipping post. Listen, your transgressions against God deserve a beating. You deserve a whipping, a beating. Now I want us to think about this. If Jesus was really taking our place, if you sense that and feel that. Now, I contend that when you get saved, you experience a little of that. I mean, when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God convicts us, we experience that. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, deep down in your soul, when you're convicted of sin, you get an idea of just how far removed you are from God, how bad your transgressions are. You get a glimpse of the fact that you not only deserve a whipping, you deserve eternal punishment. I mean, the Holy Ghost shows you that. You feel like you deserve to go to hell. He was scourged. Let's think about this just for a moment. Substitution. Do you believe in a gospel of substitution? Do you really believe that Jesus took your place? That he was paying your sin debt? That he stood in your stead? Do you believe in a substitutionary kind of gospel? Then what are you going to do about the next couple of verses? They scourged him, and he was delivered to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, verse 27, took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. The garrison could have been up to 400 to 600 soldiers. Verse 28. Keep in mind who this is. They stripped him. You talk about humiliation. They stripped him. They stripped him naked before this group of soldiers, before this garrison. He had already been beaten and whipped. Now, listen, people. You know, I want to make just a side note, all right? We need to be careful about our joking and jesting. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, we are warned about our joking and our jesting. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient. In other words, which is not appropriate for Christians. There are certain kinds of humor that's just not appropriate for Christians. Now, you know, amusement at the expense of our integrity or morality, or when we are harming or doing harm to someone else, isn't right. Amen. And, you know, like I said earlier, some things are just not a joking matter. Sometimes we laugh at something that we really shouldn't be laughing about. It's a bad thing. It's a sinful thing. And we need to be very careful. Now, the Bible tells us to be cheerful. I believe we ought to be cheerful. And there are some aspects of our Christian life that we ought to exemplify cheerfulness. And there are certain pleasantries of life that the Bible doesn't forbid. There are some quiet, gentle humors that's of a good nature. There's good-natured humor. And I think that's acceptable and it's okay. And we ought to allow that in our life. Most of you know my obsession with comics, and I read one. I read comics all the time. Every morning I read the comics. And if it makes me laugh, then I post it on the refrigerator. Only the ones that make me laugh go on the refrigerator. And, you know, there's certain kinds of humor, but this kind of sick entertainment that causes us to get a laugh, we ought to stay away from it. We ought to avoid it. We shouldn't let it into our life. Because this is the kind of stuff that was done to our Savior. This bitter taunting and this the sport of his agony. Sometimes when I read these passages, it angers my heart to think they would do something so cruel as mock him. And keep in mind, he is the king. Jesus is the king. He will one day be crowned with many crowns. And all those that have crowns will lay them at his feet. And he has a scepter that he rules the nations, praise God. But they stripped him. They stripped him naked. And the Bible says, look at these passages. They put a scarlet, they were mocking his claims of being king. He is the king. And they put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. You know, there's another practical Christian lesson that I want to bring out, and then I'm going to move on and bring the sermon to its, hopefully, climax. When you consider what was done to our Savior, he was the Son of God. When you think about how badly he was treated, how that he was misrepresented, had false witnesses, how that they spit in his face, how they take this reed and they strike him on the head with it. This outrageous kind of insult that he endured. There's another practical lesson. There are some things we need to endure as well. If our Lord endured this, if he wore a crown of thorns, shouldn't we put up with a little insult every now and then? I mean, we're sinners. We're made children of God by adoption and stuff. But shouldn't we suffer some wrongs by people today and just endure it? Just endure it. Suck it up. Just go through it. Huh? Look at what your Lord went through. Your Savior wore a crown of thorns. Some of us, we get a little splinter and we just whine and cry. And I'm talking about, you know, somebody says something and they've pricked us. Oh, I've been pricked. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, come on. The world's just pricked me. Well, yeah, you're going to get some pricks. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, when God was speaking to Adam and Eve, he said, because of your sins, because you took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, thorns and thistles are going to grow up in this earth. The world is cursed because of our sins. He said, your world will be full of sorrow and suffering, and by the sweat of your brow shall you earn your bread. Listen, my friend, we have sin, we have sorrow, we have the sweat of our brow, all of these things, these thorns and thistles of life, they're a result of our own sins. They're our fault. They're our fault. Next time you're watching National Geographic and you see some little animal out there, you know, some kind of zebra, some kind of gentle zebra going across the plains and vicious lions tear it to shreds, you know why that happens? It's because of our sins. Amen. It's our fault this world's in such turmoil and such chaos. It's our fault that we are there are sufferings and sorrows. It's because of our transgressions that we experience these things. The world is cursed. Not of thorns and thistles in life. But our Savior wore a crown of thorns. There's no way I can ever convey, nor will we be able to grasp what that fully means. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know what it fully means. But I feel it. I sense it. I've had a few thorns in my life. I've had a few, haven't you? I've been stuck a time or two by this old world and by other people and things of that nature. But I'll tell you something. My Savior was crowned with a crown of thorns. And he's my Lord. So before the fall, there wasn't any thorns or thistles. There wasn't a briar patch There were no thorns to weave together to make into a crown. They came as a result of our sins. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. There were no thorns prior to the fall. Think about that. They didn't exist on the earth. They weren't here. So even the thorns existing, they exist here because of our sins. They were put together. And they were placed upon our Savior's head. I guess his brow was the only place there was no blood. He was beaten everywhere else. But now blood came from his brow. You know, and they didn't just gently place it up there. You're reading these passages that they put a reed in his hand. A flimsy rod that represented a scepter. Kings had scepters of gold and ivory. They were mocking him. And it says that after they placed it on his head, they smote him. Look at verse 30. They spit upon him. These 400 men would walk by and they would taunt him. They used him as amusement. They took the reed away from him and they hit him on the head. They didn't just go tap, tap, tap. No, like a baseball bat. Smack! 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 Over and over again. The Greek on it makes reference to them doing it over and over and over again. Many of the other translations will tell you that they hit him over and over and over again. This was our Savior who wore a crown of thorns. He was suffering this agony and this pain and this mockery for our sin debts we owed. These thorns that were a testimony of the fall, failures of the garden, our Lord was enduring them. So he was scourged. He was stripped. He was given an imitation scepter. He was made a spectacle of in these passages because he was our substitute. Bible says they stripped him. They put a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. This particular aspect or angle of our iniquities being paid for still boggles my mind. Why did he have to go through that? I mean, I've tried to wrap my head around it. Why? Why that? Why the mockery? Why? And there's only one thing that I could come up with. He was paying for the mockery. Listen to me. There's only one thing that makes sense to me. Why would he go through that? He was paying for the mockery of those who would reject his gospel. Those who would hear it and not believe it. Those who would be in church and under the sound of the gospel and know that this is what they need to do to be saved, and yet they turn it away. Each person who rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ places a crown of thorns upon his head. Do you really believe Jesus is king today? Huh? Does your heart bow before him? Do you make him Lord of your life? Do you acknowledge him as Savior and as King of kings and Lord of lords? Or do you turn your back upon him? Blow him off. Push him away. Turn your head. Stick up your nose. That kind of mockery, listen, my friend, you need to be very careful of. If the Lord Jesus Christ is working in your heart today, you need to trust Him with all of your heart and be saved. Amen. We're going to sing a song. If you have never been to the foot of the cross and had your sins canceled, you need to be saved today. If you've never repented of your sins, if you've never trusted in Jesus to where you've been born again from by His Spirit and born from above, you need to seek the Lord with all of your heart. You need to just come before Him and give Him your all. You need to trust in Him. You need to bow before Him and acknowledge Him as King. I mean as King of heaven and in earth. He said before He left after His resurrection, I have all power in heaven and earth. And He does have all power today, but you need to acknowledge that in your own life and heart. How is it with your soul? Have you been saved? Is the Lord dealing with you? Would you come? Trust Him.